Amen. All right, our reading will be taken from Philippians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 15. And it reads, "You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates in your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. Go on and grab your neighbor by the eye, by the hand, and go on and look them square in the eye. Don't grab them by the eye, grab them by the hand. Look them square in the eye. Look, that's good. Look them square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, God will fully satisfy. Neighbor, God will fully satisfy." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "God Will Fully Satisfy." Y'all know, as a country, we've just been through something. For 5 weeks, since December 20th, if I'm not mistaken, folk have been told that work for the government, 22nd, starts with a 2, ends in a 2, not O. Amen. On the 22nd, we found out that the government was being shut down. And those folk felt like the floor was pulled from underneath them while they were standing on it. And we've had minor government shutdowns before, 10 days, I think 12 at the most. But after this kept going on, after 3 weeks, folk bills became due. Folk was trying to understand what they were going to do next. And what was happening was that they were told to just go to the bank and tell your bank what's going on, and you'll be all right. And then we see this past week, one of the other secretaries just came out and said, "Hey, why they got to go to the food banks? Just go out and get a loan." You know, it's sad when folk are out of touch with reality. Y'all remember Antoinette in France was told that the people were hungry? She told them, "Let them go and just eat cake." The reality of life is that some folk are really out of touch. Because some folk see themselves economically way up here. That they forget about those folk that got to get up every morning, pound the pavement, and work hard in order to make ends meet. But the one thing I want us to understand as Christians, let us not ever get so high-minded that we find ourselves up here and don't know how to connect with the folk who don't know Jesus. Because just because you know Jesus, it don't make you better than somebody. What it does is it lets you know that the Lord has done a miraculous thing in somebody who truly did not deserve it. And now that the Lord has done this in us, it is not for us to keep to ourselves, but it's left up to us to share it with. And this is what we're seeing right here in this scripture. And the thing I want to just say that really touched my heart was the number of churches throughout this country that came to the aid of so many. Because we recognize that the Lord is the one that's blessing us. And since I am God's investment, I have to be a blessing to somebody else. But the reality with some folk is that if I help you, then that means I'm taking away from myself. But what I'm here to tell you, if you are truly a child of God, you recognize that as long as you are helping somebody, the Lord ain't going to let you go without. The Lord's going to make sure you got what you need when you need. But the problems we run into is when we start hoarding what we got, and when we hoard what we got, then we wonder why we ain't got no more and we ain't able to take care of our stuff, because you are not following what the Lord is instructing us to do. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get it twisted. Can we go and look at this thing real good in a hurry? What I want us to do is that we're going to go here and look at Philippians chapter number 4. What is happening here in Philippians chapter number 4 from verses 15 to 20 is that Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. This is one of the few letters that Paul has written to various to churches. And this is the one letter where he was did not reprimand them for anything. This is the one letter that he wrote to this church that he didn't reprimand. He was just thanking them and praising God for how God is blessing them. And what we're seeing happening here in 15 to 20 is that Paul is saying, y'all folk keep helping me even when I don't ask for it. Y'all keep blessing me when I ain't asking you for anything. And you know what I want you to realize is that there have been other churches that have offered to help Paul, and Paul wouldn't take their help. Paul got mad. I mean, the church in Corinth got mad with Paul because Paul wouldn't take their help. Because you know, the reality is, as Paul said, what is the purpose behind your gift? If you're just trying to get closer to me and thinking I'm all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side, you got it. Oh, you're working with me now. You see, we got to understand that Paul realized and recognized that the church in Philippi realized that what they were doing to honor and praise God for the man of God that they sent there to bless them. And since they were blessed, they wanted to be a blessing to the one that blessed them, because they knew his struggles. They knew the things he was dealing with, and they knew sometime it was getting rough. They knew that they wanted him to spend more time on ministry and less time on making tents. Oh, somebody going to work with me. You see, we got to understand that Paul was truly a man of God. And once the Lord turned Paul's life around, Reverend Herndon, he went everywhere the Lord sent him to go to talk to all the Gentiles. And I want you to know there were times he was beaten. He was stoned. Don't you know there was time he was left for dead? Don't you know they locked him up on several occasions? He was shipwrecked. But guess what? Paul ain't never stopped doing what God called him to do, because he realized something, that if the Lord hadn't blessed him, he wouldn't be where he is right now. So what am I telling you? I know sometimes it's going to get rough on you. I know sometimes it's going to get tough. But the one thing you got to know is that if the Lord got started you on the journey, he's going to stay with you all the way to the end. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand that our God will be there with you through thick and through thin? You ain't ever got to wonder where the Lord is. He's going to always be right. But as we're seeing this, Paul is saying something. Because he shared with them. He says in verse 15, you Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, even when I was further away from you, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Do you see this? This was letting Paul praise God even more. You know why? Because Paul realized that, Lord, I thank you for sending me to Philippi. I thank you for using me to teach and preach your word. I thank you that these folk have been anointed and appointed with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that these words of yours did not fall on deaf ears, that your word will not return back void, but it will accomplish that which you send it out to do. And these folk are the evidence of what our God can do. And Paul is thanking and praising God because he is seeing the Lord at work in an entire community of churches in Philippi who understood that their job was to truly be the best that they could be in Jesus, because they realized that since the Lord has invested in them, that it is their job to bring back profitable returns to the Lord, and realize that as the Lord gives me, I will give to somebody else, because as I do, I know the Lord is going to take good care of me. Yeah. This is what's happening here, y'all. This is what you got to see, because check out what he says here. In verse number 17, he says, check this out. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. How many of us with our spiritual ATM cards can go and tap into what God has for us? And when you try to ask for a withdrawal, it tells you insufficient funds. How many of us aren't willing to invest in what God is calling us to do, and then we're wondering why we're walking around tight-faced and mad all the time? How many of us are so self-absorbed that we forget about giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise? How many of us are walking around thinking it's more about us than it is about anybody else? I barely got enough to make it for myself. How can I help anybody else? Guess what? If you got two slices, you can at least share one. Amen? You got to understand that if the Lord blessed you with it, he'll give you some more. Because you know what the thing I love about our God? He's always adding to our account. Do I got anybody who understands that they want their account to increase? I want you to turn to at least three people, give them a high five, and say, I want my account to go up. But I want you to understand, your account ain't going up. If you're going to keep it to yourself, your account ain't going to have a balance in it if you ain't doing nothing with what God has already given you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, how many folk do we have in God's house who are spiritually bankrupt because we are not doing as God is instructing us to do? You see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord that we serve has everything that we need. No child of God should walk around spiritually bankrupt. There ought not to be a child of God that's ever spiritually bankrupt. I don't care what level of understanding you're at right now. You ought not to be bankrupt. Because at the very least you should know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And as I believe in the Lord, I got to believe in what his word says. And as I continue to know, I continue to grow, and then I can continue to go. And I want you to know, that's how your count continues to increase. What Paul is saying about the church in Philippi is that y'all got it together. It's not about y'all. I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm pumping up the God in whom you serve. Because by you trusting in God, God is showing you what he is doing in your life. What Paul is letting them know is that your account now is returning some profits. You see, my brothers and my sisters, all of our accounts ought to bring some profits to the Lord, because we serve a God who has brought us a mighty long way. Didn't the Lord come and get us? When he came to get us, we was toe up from the flow up. We was lost in the sauce. We did not know which way was up. We did not know which direction to go. But I am so thankful that we serve a God who looked past all our faults. He has identified our needs. Once we understood that, we realized that, Lord, I am here with you. I ain't going left or right. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight, because I am where I am because the Lord has blessed me, and the Lord is increasing in my account, because I know that he is the one who brought me this far. He's the one that's going to take me all the way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands? If it had not been for God's grace and mercy, where would I be right now? I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, we got something to shout about. We got something to praise him for, because I know I got some money in my account. Do I got any other folk who know you got money in your account? Not because you're trying to impress God. I'm just serving the one who served me. You see? I'm sorry. Here we go. No, I ain't sorry. Ain't nothing sorry about me. But hear what I'm saying. I'm just getting excited. Again, we ought to have profits that accumulate in our accounts. Y'all remember back in the day, in your savings account, you get 3 and 4%. Remember back in the day, you would get that one-year CD and get 7% as long as you let the bank keep your money for a year. Remember those days? Where they at now? Nowhere to be found. But you know what? A lot of folk put a lot of faith in material stuff. And we're not putting enough faith in the one that blessed them with the material stuff. When we keep our trust in the one that blesses us. You see, now, let me help us get it all untwisted. Too many of us have been focusing on the resource rather than praising the source. You see, what we can't ever get twisted is that we should never get overly caught up in the resources and forget about the source. You see, because when some folk lose their resources, they get all tore up, jump out of windows, do all kinds of stupid stuff. But when you have your connection with the source, you realize that, Lord, I know you got more than enough. And I know that if whatever I am lacking in, as long as I know I have some profits in my account and I'm doing as you're instructing me, I don't ever have to worry about going broke or filing bankruptcy. Because I serve a God who is able to do great things. But hold on. Hold on. This is what we got to see from verse 18. He says, I have been paid. Ooh. This is Paul talking. He says, I have been paid in full and have more. He says, I have been paid in and I have more. Do y'all see that? This traveling preacher who has been through hell and high water is talking about he has more than enough. And he has been paid. Speak those things that are not as though they are. If you can't speak it, that means you can't see it. And that means that it can't happen. Do I need to say that again? If you can't speak it and you can't see it, then it ain't going to happen. Do you hear that? I don't hear it either. I'm messing with you. What I'm saying to you is this. If I can't speak it, yes. If I can't see it, yes. Then it ain't going to happen. Right. How do we come to Jesus? We confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead. Right. I have to speak it. I have to see it in order to. My brothers and sisters, we have to learn how to change our vocabulary. Amen. We have to learn how to minimize some words. We have to learn how to maximize other words. Because what we tend to do is when we focus more on the negativity, then all I will ever see is, because all I'm speaking is, and as I'm speaking, then I'll see, and everything around me is going to be. If I speak positive, then I can see. And I can see positive. Do you see what is happening? Some folk might be offended. How dare Paul say he's paid in full? Don't say that, Paul. Because you ain't. But Paul says, yes, I am. And you know what he says to go along with being paid in full? He says, I am fully satisfied. Do you see that? How many of us are fully satisfied? Yeah. in the Lord. How many of us understand that prior to the Lord, I was doing all kinds of stuff. I was trying a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And none of it lasts long. But once I gave my life to Jesus, once I turned it all over to him, once I let him into my whole house, I now can say that I am fully. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Some of y'all got nervous because I don't want to say I'm fully satisfied. Because what one of the things you got to see is this. If you can't speak negative, if you speak negative, it's going to be negative, and all you'll see is negative. But what you got to understand, when you speak positive, you should see positive, and positive should follow you wherever you go. Yeah. You know, there are some folk that you and I see. Come on, can we be real today? There are some folk you and I see. Whenever they start coming our way, we go to other. You know why, Brother Red? Because every time we see them, all we see is that dark cloud hanging over top of them. And the more we try to let them know how the Lord can bring the sun through the clouds, all they want to keep talking about is the dark cloud. You know, sometimes you got to just pray for some folk. Some folk you got to love from a distance. It ain't like you give up on them, but you got to realize that, Lord, I done all I could through what you've given me. So, Lord, I have exhausted all I can do. So I'm going to pray for them and hopefully and know you'll turn them around. Because I know that, guess what? I ain't always walking around like this. And I still don't always walk around like. But I understand that there is a God who sits high, looks low. That there is a God who can take a negative and make it up. That there is a God who can take a nothing and make up. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. You see, and so that's why Paul says, I'm paid in full. And I am fully. Is it making sense so far, y'all? See, now you know why he said that. He says, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, what Paul did was he flipped it and went to the Old Testament. Because when they gave the offerings, they wanted it to reach up to the nostrils of God. And they gave their offering and their worship that it would be a sweet fragrance to God. That once it reached God, that God would truly accept their offering and God will be pleased by what they've done. And we understand that if we play with our praise, it ain't going hard in the seal. But when we truly come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, when we come being authentic, when we come saying, Lord, I ain't got it all together, but Lord, that which I got together, Lord, I want you to keep together and continue to work on the stuff I ain't got together, because I know that, God, you are able, because you brought me this far, and I know you ain't gonna stop working on me right now. Do I got some folk in God's house who understand that, God, there's some things I need you to keep together, there's some other things I need you to fix in my life? You see, the one reason why we can't truly be authentic is that you're more concerned with what folk think about you than what God can do for you. I'm here to tell you today, it's time for us to truly strip off that stuff and say, Lord, I surrender. Help me to be better, because I know I still got some stuff I need you to work on. You see, I don't know about you. I want God to keep working on me. I know I got some stuff right, but there's still some stuff God working on me. I ain't too holy to say that, and I hope you ain't either. Because when you say that, you're going to help somebody around you. When you say that, you're letting folk know that this is not a church filled with a whole bunch of perfect people. Hallelujah. We still got to deal with the struggles of life. You still got to deal with, Lord, keep my tongue so I don't smack the out of them. Lord, help me so that I don't go over there and shake the out of them. Lord, help me be the best that I can be. Because, Lord, I know how far you brought me. I know how you turned me around. But I know that the enemy is dead on my tracks, and he's trying to get me to slip up whenever he can. But, Lord, I'm looking to you. When I give it to you. You see, this is what Paul finally says. After he says all that, Paul says, our God. Yeah. No, he doesn't. He says, and my God. Oh, but he ain't everybody else's God. You see, Paul wants it to be known that before I can have a collective, I got to have a personal. You see, but before you can talk about how much you love somebody, you better learn how first to what? Love yourself. You see, because you can't give them what you ain't got. If I ain't loving on myself, ain't no way in the world I know I can love on you. If I don't care about me, it's hard for me to care about you. So what Paul here is saying, he says, and my God, because he wants them to understand, my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in who? So what Paul is saying, the formula of you finding out how God won't allow you to have any kind of spiritual bankruptcies or even physical bankruptcies is that you got to put your trust in God. You have to follow the process that God wants to take you through. As long as you close your fist and hold on to stuff, guess what? Nothing can come in and what? Nothing can go out. You'll never know what God can do in your life until you open up your hand. And when you open up your hand, what you're really doing is opening up your heart. And when you do, the Lord can now come in. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will use you to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's why we've entitled our sermon today, that God will fully satisfy. I don't care what it is. Our God will fully satisfy, because I am not trying to impress you. I ain't trying to get what you think. I got to do what God is calling me to do. And as long as I'm doing what God is calling me to do, I know my God will fully satisfy. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got anybody that understands that, Lord, I want you to fully satisfy whatever I need in my life? And the only way that's going to happen, I got to put my complete trust in you, because I can't go nowhere without you. I can't talk without you. I can't walk without you. I can't wake up without you. I can't smell without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't see without you. Do I got anybody that understands just how good our God is? God will fully satisfy. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we step into the understanding of who the Lord is, it takes us to a realm that folk who don't know can't understand. And because we understand, that becomes our motivation to help others to come to know what we know. Because we know we once was lost, but now we're found. We once were blind, but now we see. And that's why we have to make it our business to help those who are lost to get what? Found. To help those that are blind to be able to. You see, and the only way that's going to happen is if we put our complete trust in God and say God will fully satisfy. You see, what Paul here is saying to them, the reason why he knows what God is going to do for them is because of what they are already doing for God. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you want to find out how great our God is and all the things that God can do for you. My question is, what are you really doing for God? We don't need to have more folk talking about Christianity. We don't need more folk talking about how good God is. What we need is more folk who are showing it. More folk who are walking it. We need for what we do to become visible. Not that we're trying to let everybody see what we do. We're not doing it for that purpose. We're going where the Lord sends us. We're doing what God is calling us to do. And as we do it, then guess what God's going to do? God's going to bless us. You see, and that's what Paul is saying here in this scripture, is that if you want to see truly how your account can be profitable and continue to accumulate, you got to do what God is instructing you to do. My brothers and my sisters, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm tired of being broke. Aren't you tired of being broke? If you are a child of God, you ought not to be spiritually broke. And if you're not spiritually broke, then God ain't gonna let you to be physically broke. You might go through a valley. We all have been through a valley. You might have a time when you got to scrape the barrel to get some stuff. But as long as you continue to do as God is instructing you to do, God ain't going to let you go around. Y'all know I am not a money preacher. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your spiritual being. I'm talking about through your spiritual being, then the physical things can occur. But if we don't get the physical, being the spiritual, right, then the physical will be broke. I don't care how many million of dollars you have or how much money you got. You're broke spiritually. Your account says insufficient funds. If we want to, Broad Rock, let me tell you something. God is taking us places. God is doing stuff with us. Do y'all realize what's happening in our church? We are not just an African-American church. We are a church that have folk who are from Asia. We have folk who are Caucasian. We have folk from the Caribbean. That's telling us is that God is not a respecter of person. What God looks at is the heart. And what God sees and what he should see in all of us is called red. That we're covered in the red blood of Jesus. And when you're covered in that red blood, it makes us all whiter than... Oh, somebody going to work with me. And if we know that the Lord has done all that, how can we be broke? How can we sit still and not care what happens to others? You know, I know as we heard the speech come out of Washington yesterday, whatever day it was, Friday, today's Sunday. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. We're going to open up government for 3 weeks. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That government going to open back up. And it ain't going to close no more. Because my God will fully satisfy everything that I need according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. When you hear negativity come your way, you got to learn how to rebuke it right away. Rebuke it. Don't let it just say that. You can talk all you want, but I serve a God who says, yes, it will. Brother Phil, what God is looking for is more folk who are willing to give of themselves. Because when we give of ourselves, we find out a lot about who we are becoming. When I truly gave my life to Christ and I saw what the Lord had started doing in me and what he showed me I was going to be. Because when God called me, I was not saved. I was not in the church. I tried to stay as far away from the church as possible. And you know, and I had a conversation, I shared this in Bible study a few weeks ago. I had a conversation with somebody who played football with me in high school. And he went on to the pros, played 7 years for the Raiders and 3 years with the Chargers. And we just reconnected. We were connected when he was playing. At that point, I wasn't saved. And then we lost connection. And so I hadn't talked to him in well over 23, 24 years. And he saw something, Faye, about my brother had posted about Cleveland and saying that's where my brother pastors the church down there. And my friend saw this and he's like, said to my brother, he sent my brother a message, tell Kevin to call me. And when he and I connected, You know what he said to me, y'all? He said, you know, because he's a Christian too. He said, Kev, I got to tell you, because he wasn't calling me Pastor Cook. He said, Kev, I got to tell you, of all the folk we went to school with and all the folk we played football with, if you was to put a list on who will become a preacher, he said, your name would be the last one on the list. And I told him, I said, but we praise God. Because God can take anything and utilize it however he wants. You see, it's not about what man thinks about us. It's what God has already has in store for us. You see, when I think about all that God has done for me, I know I ain't all that, but I serve a God who is all that. Do I got anybody in here else who knows that our God is all that? God will fully satisfy. Do I got anybody that's excited about who God is? Excited about how far he's brought you? Excited about where he's taking you? You see, my brothers and sisters, when we stay that way, we cannot be broke.